Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome back into a brand new week of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. Boy, it seems like a while since we've been live at the studio. We had the Utah Jazz on Friday, and so we haven't been live since Thursday, but now we're set, ready to go. A lot to get into, a lot as far as the NBA is concerned, and we'll actually dive in and talk about the NBA next segment. How about the Utah Jazz? I thought that the Jazz had a chance in this series against the Nuggets. Thought it was a long shot, just because I didn't know where the offense would come from, but the Jazz have looked stellar. I don't know if they're a championship-contending team, but they should end this series with the Nuggets tomorrow. 4:30 start time for that game. Tip-off at the bubble will be at 4:30, which means tomorrow, very shortened edition of Drive Time Sports because we'll get out to Orlando. The Jazz can close out the Nuggets. We'll talk about that next segment here on the show. I know that Donovan Mitchell has been phenomenal. I know he's been fantastic. This guy is doing things in the bubble that we have not really seen. I mean, he's been historically good. But I think we have to also point out that Mike Conley finally looks like the Mike Conley that got Jazz fans excited when Utah made the trade. I don't think you can overstate that. Conley looks fantastic. And even without Bojan Bogdanović, he's added an efficient offensive punch to that side of the basketball. He has no turnovers in 50-something minutes of play since returning to the bubble. That's impressive. That's exactly what this team needed. We'll talk more about the Utah Jazz again next segment. Speaking of the NBA, one team is gone, Philadelphia. They were ousted by the Boston Celtics yesterday. Philadelphia has left the bubble, and now they're looking for a new head coach. They have fired Brett Brown. The team made this announcement earlier today. And as far as the dismissal of Brett Brown, my initial reaction would be, okay, is Elton Brand next? Because Philadelphia had this whole idea of trust the process. And then they spent a lot of money on Tobias Harris. And then they spent a lot of money on Al Horford. And then they spent a lot of money on Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Philadelphia is kind of cap-strapped. And with the question marks surrounding the cap and the CBA moving forward, I don't know if there's an easy fix for this Philadelphia team. I think you're kind of stuck with the roster that you have right now. So would Elton Brand be out next? Now, according to ESPN, that is not the case. Elton Brand will still oversee basketball operations, but they will start exploring the idea of changes in the front office structure. Okay, so also this points out that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons may in fact just stay together, which I think is a good move. Again, I mentioned they spent a lot of money on Embiid. They spent a lot of money on Ben Simmons. I don't believe Philadelphia is ousted in four games to Boston if they have Ben Simmons. I think Ben Simmons is that important. He's unique. He's big. He can handle the ball. Can't hit an outside shot, but that's fine. This guy can beat you in many different ways, and he's good on the defensive end of the floor. They need to keep Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. It's the other contracts I can't stand. Tobias Harris, a max contract. He's not a max contract player. Al Horford at this stage in his career is not worth $28 million. And that's on Elton Brand's hands. It really is. Now, even though Brett Brown is gone, there is the thought that he'll land another job relatively soon because this guy is well-respected throughout the NBA. Very well-respected. As far as the list of potential coaches that they will target, Tyronn Lue seems to be the front runner. Another name that I think is going to pick up a lot of steam over the next couple of months is Jason Kidd, assistant coach for the Lakers. Kidd and Tyronn Lue, two coaches out of LA, I think are probably going to garner the most attention from retread coaches. And when I use the term retread, I'm talking about former head coaches. Tom Thibodeau is already off the market. So you start looking at Ty Lue, you start looking at Jason Kidd. And really, Philadelphia, in my mind, it's similar to, say, New Orleans. I think there's a lot of positive pieces, a lot of great things happening. You have something in the cupboard, right? You go to New York, Tom Thibodeau taking over in New York. They have nothing to work with. They have R.J. Barrett, and that's it. You're banking on luring a free agent. Philly and New Orleans have pieces in place to make the rebuild process a little bit faster. I mean, New Orleans was not good last season. They trade Anthony Davis. They got plenty of pieces for Davis, and they were right there to make the NBA playoffs. Had the season not been stopped, there's a great chance New Orleans gets in. I kind of view Philadelphia the same way. I think this team massively underachieved, and at the beginning of the year, there were talks of Philly winning an NBA championship because they have that much talent. But for whatever reason, it just didn't mesh. So you bring in someone like a Ty Lue or a Jason Kidd, who is well-respected throughout the league, and I think things start to look up. Now, another candidate that is being mentioned is Jay Wright, head coach of Villanova. Two-time national champ. This guy eventually is going to take an NBA job. I mean, we hear John Calipari brought up from time to time. Don't forget, John Calipari had his run in the NBA. At some point in time, Jay Wright makes that leap. And with everything that's happening in the NCAA right now, might not be a bad time for Jay Wright to take that leap. I feel bad for Brett Brown. Like this guy an awful lot. But honestly, my goodness, this was a team that massively underachieved. Had injuries throughout the year, but you just never got the feeling that Philadelphia meshed. Last year, they get to the Eastern Conference semifinals. They lose on a Game 7 buzzer beater. Did they go to the finals last year? Possible. I would have picked them to beat Milwaukee in a 7-game set. But things just did not work out. And honestly, if I'm a Sixers fan, you can't be upset. They made a move for Jimmy Butler. It didn't work out. They made a move for Tobias Harris, Al Horford. They've tried. They've tried to put complimenting pieces around their two young budding All-Stars. For whatever reason, it just did not work. So Brett Brown, out of a job. Philadelphia making that official. Elton Brand is projected to keep his job as general manager. Now, we do have one game going on right now in the NBA. Houston and Oklahoma City battling it out as we are in the fourth quarter. Houston clinging to a 6-point lead in that contest. The Rockets with a 2-1 series lead. Massively huge quarter coming up in this series, as it can pretty much go any which direction if Oklahoma City was to pull out a win. A 2-2 series with no home court advantage. That's some interesting basketball. Milwaukee did defeat Orlando earlier today, 121-106. Again, I viewed this Milwaukee series the same exact way I view the Lakers-Portland series. The number one seed was not going to lose in this series. Wasn't going to happen. Orlando stole game one. Milwaukee since has pretty much had their way with Orlando. Giannis was fantastic today, 14 of 21 from the field, 31 points, 15 boards, 8 assists, 1 block. He was great. You start looking at Chris Middleton. Again, he was plus 15 out on the court today, 21 and 10. Double-double type performance. Milwaukee is fine. They will end this series in 5. And tonight, we get the Lakers and the Blazers. And it is Mamba Day, 8/24. The Lakers will be wearing Kobe Bryant design jerseys with a patch for Kobe's daughter Gianna. The Lakers aren't losing tonight. There's no way you can lose wearing those jerseys on Mamba Day. So they would take a 3-1 series lead, and ultimately that series would be over, right? A 3-1 series lead, to me, it's done. With no home court advantage, it's over with. It's the way I view the Jazz-Nuggets series. Nuggets are done. Lakers beat the Blazers tonight. That series is over in 5. That's a quick look at what is happening in the NBA. Outside of that, we have the AP Top 25 for college football finally released. And, yeah, the AP voted for teams that will not play. For instance, Ohio State comes in at number 2. We know the Big Ten is not playing college football. They canceled the season. Penn State, number 7. They're not playing. Oregon, number 9. Pac-12's not playing. So 3 teams inside the top 10. This is what the top 10 looks like. Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma. That's 1 through 5. 6 through 10, LSU, Penn State, Florida, Oregon, Notre Dame. Utah comes in at number 22. USC, another Pac-12 school, comes in at 17. Pac-12 was well represented in the first AP Top 25. But again, the only team that's massively affected by the Pac-12, the Big Ten, as far as national championship hopes, it's Ohio State, number 2 team in the country, and they don't have a season. That's a little sad. We'll look at the AP Top 25 if we have some time a little bit later on in the show. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. We're going to break for just a moment. Local sports recap is coming up next. We'll recap Carbon and Emory as far as the football season. Both teams coming up short on Friday. Your complete game recaps are available right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. But I'm going to give you the complete recap here in just a moment. And we'll talk more NBA basketball, including the tremendous tear that this Utah Jazz team is on. That's coming up next when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
This is John Wall from the Washington Wizards, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buskerings on KOAL 750 AM.
Wall shoots over Bayless. Dagger! John Wall with a career-high 47 points.
Back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. A very exciting weekend for the game of basketball. If you're a Utah Jazz fan, you've got to be floating on cloud nine at the moment. Utah takes a 3-1 series lead. Again, a dominating performance by Donovan Mitchell. And not to overlook what Spider has done over the last four games, but there's an unsung hero, someone that's not getting a lot of attention for the Utah Jazz that has really contributed in a big way. That's Mike Conley. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Jamison Welsh of BasketballNews.com. And Jamison, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely.
Yeah, let's start by talking about the Utah Jazz. This looked like, in my mind, it was probably the most favorable matchup that they could have gotten in the first round. Still, with that being said, I wasn't overly confident that they would take out the Denver Nuggets. This series is over. Will Denver get Game 5? I highly doubt it tomorrow. I think the series is over the way things are going. And, of course, Donovan Mitchell has been historically good. And we can talk about Donovan Mitchell in just a moment. But as I mentioned, Mike Conley, you cannot overstate what this guy has done. In 57 minutes, he has scored 53 points and has zero turnovers. You want to talk about historically good, you will not get better production out of your point guard than that. Mike Conley has been outstanding.
And that's what they brought him there for, you know, for his playoff experience and for his steadiness. You know, that's the guy that you know what you're getting from. You know you're going to get a guy that makes good decisions, and he can also knock down the outside shot. And during the regular season, he struggled to do so to the point where we all thought he was done because he had any left in the tank. However, he's a guy that he has made Utah a legitimate contender out West, because if he's going to be steady, if Donovan Mitchell is going to be a superstar-like player, if Gobert is doing Gobert things, now you have a three-headed monster that can actually play and be counted on. Now you've got some action. Now I'm not going to say they're going to win the championship or anything like that, but the scenario looks a whole lot better than it did 3 weeks ago. You know, it looks a whole lot better. Because now, you got three guys you can count on. Ingles is going to give you what he gives you. And then you got some bench guys to do what they do. Okay, now you have something. But also, the momentum this has created. You know, this is a team that came into the bubble with some doubts. Now it's like, okay, now they're playing very well. Guys are hitting shots. Guys are contributing. Jordan Clarkson is another guy that's played well. And they're going to probably close Denver out. You know, not having home court advantage really hurts teams like Denver, where they play very well at home. That's something that people don't realize. They're also missing two starters. And I read an article yesterday that there's some stuff. They're like the last team in the bubble for a reason. There's some stuff going on internally there that ain't quite right. But with that being said, you got to give the Jazz all the credit. They've closed out two games. You can make arguments that this should have been a sweep. How quickly this has gone. So, kudos to the Jazz and what they've done thus far.
Really, Donovan Mitchell bonehead play where he didn't cross half court before the 8 second count, that's really what prevented a sweep here. And again, you can look past that because, again, Donovan right now, he's averaging 40 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and shooting 56% from the field over the course of this series. But really, Jamison, if you get rid of that 8 second violation, this is a sweep.
It's a sweep, and it's a situation where a coach might have got fired. Because when you get swept, like, here's the thing. It's one thing to lose a series. Like, it happens to everyone. But when you get swept, especially when you can make the argument that Denver has a better overall team, somebody got to pay the price for that. Somebody got to go, whether it's a coach, whether it's a GM, the owner ain't firing himself. So, yeah. But with that being said, though, I will say that Denver's been a little bit overrated. Now, I want to cover this a little bit. Jokic gets a lot of pub and a lot of love from a lot of people, and he's a really good player. However, if you're trying to win a championship, you cannot win a championship the way this game is played now with a center that slow on his feet with the responsibilities the center has in this game. You have a big guy in this era. He has to be able to move laterally. He has to be able to defend in the pick and roll at least on an average basis. If he cannot do that, you have no chance at winning.
Again, Jamison Welsh, our guest right now as we talk NBA basketball. Jamison, let's transition from the Jazz and Nuggets. Let's talk about the Clippers and Mavericks. There was a lot of talk about concern over the other LA team following Game 1. I didn't buy into it. I was of the mindset throughout that this Mavericks-Clippers series would be compelling. I thought maybe if it goes 5 or 6 games, we're looking at it and saying, it probably should have went 7. I thought the Mavericks would be competitive. However, I did not believe that Dallas would be sitting 2-2 4 games into it. And honestly, it should be 3-1 Dallas. So, and we're talking about a lot of shoulda, woulda, couldas, but in the same token, they have outplayed the Clippers over the course of 4 games. That's alarming. 1 game, okay. 4 games, that's something to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, too. Like, they're even thoroughly outcoached. You know, Rick Carlisle doesn't get mentioned as much as he should when it comes to great coaches in the league. Part of it's because, you know, he won a title 9 years ago, but also it's in a small market for Dallas. Dallas is a small basketball market. It's still a major city, but the market size is not that big. You know, Dallas isn't on TV every week like some of the other teams. But Rick Carlisle has danced circles around Doc in the series thus far. However, with that being said, if Paul George shows up, this is a sweep or a 3-1 Clippers series at worst. So there's some issues with the Clippers that I've noticed. They don't want any offense. They don't have like any set plays or anything. They come down and try to get the best one-on-one matchup and go through there. There's not a whole lot of movement, not a whole lot of motion. And that doesn't really quite work this time of year, especially with the guys that aren't playing at the best level. Kawhi is amazing. Kawhi is doing what he does, and, you know, that's that. You can make an argument. He's the best player in the league. He's been that good. But Paul George, I'm looking at him like, man, they traded 5 unprotected first-round picks for you, and a guy that's going to be a future All-Star. And this is a response you get. They saved you from Oklahoma City, and this is the thanks you're giving him? Something ain't right, man. Like, I don't know if he has the yips. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know. But something isn't right here, and I'm looking at him like, you're better than this. But he has the reputation of coming up short in the playoffs. A lot of pressure. Remember, the Clippers are favored to win. One of the teams that are favored to win the whole thing. So it's different when you're the favorite. And I think they're going through that right now. With that being said, I still think they win the series. But Dallas has action because once you have a team playing like that, they're confident like that, all bets are off. And all you need is a team like that to go up 3-2 in a series. And you don't know what's going to happen, especially without home court advantage.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I would point to in this series, I typically would say, okay, well, you got Doc Rivers, adjustments over the next 3 games or so, it's going to be key. But when you look to the other side of the bench, you got Rick Carlisle, one of the best coaches in the NBA. And the way he has adjusted throughout the first 4 games, he has outcoached Doc Rivers hands down. It's not even close. I mean, you go back to the final play, and I know it's one play, but we go back to Luka's game winner last night. How in the world does Luka draw one-on-one on the perimeter with Reggie Jackson when there's Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the court? I don't know how this happens. And so, ultimately, in my mind, when I look at a 2-2 series, we can talk about Luka and how great he has been. We can talk about Paul George and how absent he has been. Rick Carlisle has outcoached Doc Rivers, Jamison, hands down. It hasn't even been close in that regard.
You're absolutely correct. And also, you got to realize this, too. I need my star players to make star plays. So, we all know Luka gets the ball. Everybody who's watching the game knows that ball's going to Luka. If I'm Kawhi Leonard, I'm not switching anything. If he's going to hit a 30-footer on somebody, it's going to be me. If he's going to shoot, I'm not having him shoot over a 6'2 guy. That's the thing people got to realize. When you got a guy that's 6'7", 6'8", him shooting over a guy 4 or 5 inches shorter than him, 6 inches shorter than him, that's a practice shot. That's not a shot that's going to be any issue you're going to have any issues with. So for them just let him play on the island like that, Reggie Jackson with the game on the line, yeah, that's coaching my practice. And I need some answers from Doc. If I'm a Clippers fan or someone that supports them or whatever, I need some answers because that doesn't sit well with me. I don't understand what exactly happened. However, I will say, though, Dallas has turned Seth Curry and Trey Burke, he turned those guys loose to the point where they're able to do things that we didn't think they could do prior to the series, and the Clippers have some issues.
Yeah, Trey Burke, and I'm glad you brought this up. Watching Trey Burke yesterday, I believe he scored, 24, 26 points off the bench for the Mavericks yesterday. This was the Trey Burke that Utah thought they were getting when they made the move, sending Georgie Dang, and also Shabazz Muhammad, if memory serves me right, to Minnesota for Trey Burke. That's the guy they thought they were getting. He looked phenomenal yesterday.
He did, and sometimes it takes a while, you know, for guards. They always say guards like the toughest position to play in the NBA and the toughest position to, to figure out. And Trey Burke has done it. It's taken some years, and he's gotten better, of course. But, you know, mentally, he understands the game. He also understands his strengths and weaknesses, and that's something that a lot of players don't get until they're a few years down. And he's done that. But also, he's become a much better shooter. He's able to attack the rim and attack the glass with a certain angle to where he's not getting a shot blocked. So he's been really good. Like, to be honest with you, the way they have attacked the Clippers, they have set the blueprint on how to beat the Clippers. Now, not a whole lot of teams shoot as many threes as the Mavs. I mean, they shoot a lot of threes, but just their breakdown, and you can tell that the Clippers are a team that has only played together for like 25 games, I believe it is. Like, the lineup they have now has only been out there, I believe, together for like 25, maybe 30 games. And that's something to where it shows. Like, even the Lakers have had their, you know, they've had some new pieces. You can tell most of those guys have been in the same lineup because there's a lot of continuity on the defensive end. The Clippers have a lot of lapses for a team that talented, and it's definitely showing at the wrong time.
Lakers-Blazers tonight, this is a big game. In fact, it's do or die, in my opinion, for the Blazers. There's no way they're going to beat this Laker team three times in a row. I know the media, they love to overreact. I believe it was a classic overreaction after Game 1. The Lakers are now up 2-1. I don't see any way the Lakers lose tonight. And once L.A. finishes off this series, I think that it's kind of a reminder of, relax, it's a seven-game set. Jamison, the bottom line is, when I look at this Portland team, Dame Lillard is great. C.J. McCollum is great. Carmelo Anthony has given us some exciting moments. But overall, this just is not a very good team. And what the Lakers can do defensively is quite special, and we're seeing that. Dame may have went off in Game 1. I'm starting to sense some tired legs from Dame. I thought we saw that in Game 3. And I would expect the Lakers to come out and win and take complete control of the series tonight in this game.
Well, they've played 13 games. This will be their 13th game. They played the 8 games, and then they had the play-in game. They've played 3 games in the series. Since July 31st. So usually you play about 13 games in a regular month. Like, that's normally how it goes in the NBA. Maybe 14. Sometimes you play about 14. Very rarely do you play 15 games. Like, that's, you know, it happens, but very rarely. To play that many games in a short amount of time and to have a thin roster, yes, it's definitely going to take a toll. Like, and you can tell, even in Game 3, you can tell that those shots, those jumpers were just coming up a bit short. Those 18-foot step backs were just coming up a bit short. And that's from playing a bunch of playoff-light games just to get to the playoffs. And, you know, when you have a team that is focused around two short guards, this is the results you have. And it's not surprising. I mean, it's kind of expected, to be honest with you, when you look at the situation. You have Damian Lillard, who's an amazing player. You can argue that he's been a top-5 guy in this bubble. And he can make an argument to get the top 5 overall in the league. I'm not saying he is, but he can definitely have an argument. C.J. McCollum's a certified bucket getter. He's a guy that's a fringe all-star. If he was in the East, he would be an all-star. But it's very difficult to win with those guys. And when I say that, it's not because of, you know, their skill set, because that's not the case. But the way they play, the lack of defense they play, the type of things they have to do in order to get their points, get their shots, it's very tough basketball. They have to take a lot of low-percentage shots. Even though that they're very good at them, they have to take a lot of low-percentage shots in order to try to get off. And it's just very difficult to do that over taller guys as the series prolongs. And I think the Lakers, and Lakers have not played their best ball at all either. That's the scary part. The Lakers have another notch or two they can go. But with that being said, the way the Lakers have played defensively for most of the series, they're a team that's on a mission, and I think they go up 3-1 tonight and close it out on Wednesday.
Jamison Welsh, you get at basketballnews.com. Jamison, always a pleasure to get you on and talk NBA Bowl. Before I let you go, you got to tell us about the new adventure at basketballnews.com and, of course, where we can find you online.
Yes, it's where athletes meet analytics. We have a lot of former pros, current pros, coaches, agents, not necessarily agents, but people in the basketball world that are involved with the game. They'll be providing content, whether it's podcast form, video form, writing. It's really cool, something different. And you'll also be able to get look up all your stats. Your stat person will be able to contribute that way as well. So it's really cool, really, really nice situation. I think if you're a basketball fan, I think you'll like it. And, yeah, something different, something to provide a new form for basketball people that enjoy the game and enjoy different content, because right now the industry's kind of watered down in authentic content, and we're going to try to change that.
Yeah, well, you definitely do a great job here on the show each week. Jameson, thank you so much for the time. I look forward to doing it again next week.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. Again, we're live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM KOAL.
With everything that's happening in the NBA, sometimes it's easy to forget about day baseball, even though we are halfway through the season and 1 week away from what may be one of the most bizarre trade deadlines. I had to remind myself over the weekend about the extended postseason for baseball. So instead of just taking five teams, remember, eight teams from each league go. So two from each division, and then the next two best records. Then you play the best two out of three. I mean, baseball is going to be crazy when we get to the postseason. Right now, we have a game going on, the Blue Jays and the Rays. This one just about over. Toronto up 6-4 over Tampa Bay in the ninth inning of this contest. We have Miami and Washington also going at it right now. Plenty of night baseball. 5 o'clock, Minnesota and Cleveland. Chicago will take on Detroit. Oakland at Texas at 6 o'clock. Also within that hour, Cincinnati at Milwaukee. Kansas City at St. Louis. And then 7 o'clock tonight, we get the Angels and the Astros. And then the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. And that's a big game because the Rockies are really starting to flounder. But like I said, halfway through the season, a lot of teams have hit that 30-game mark, or at least they're close to it. Tampa Bay, for instance, they're playing their 30th game of the season as we speak. Here's what the playoffs would look like right now in the American League. Tampa Bay and New York coming out of the AL East, no surprise there at all. I think anyone could have pegged those two teams knowing that we were going to the expanded playoffs. Toronto, Baltimore, Boston. Good stories, just not there. Boston's horrible. Toronto and Baltimore, they've been good stories. The AL Central is interesting because you have Minnesota at the top and only a game and a half better than Cleveland and only two games better than Chicago. So right now, Minnesota and Cleveland, they would get the guaranteed spots out of the Central. And then in the West, Houston was playing great baseball. Then they lost three consecutive games. Oakland at the top, 4.5 games better than Houston. And then after that, a big drop-off of the Rangers, 7 games under 500. So, Tampa, New York, Minnesota, Cleveland, Oakland, Houston. Those spots would be in. The wild card teams at the moment would be the White Sox and, believe it or not, the Toronto Blue Jays. Those would be the six teams coming out of the American League. The Blue Jays are at 13-13, and they would be in. Along with the White Sox, who have an overwhelming lead for one of the wild card spots. National League, yeah, I think it is surprising that Atlanta and Miami would be coming out of the East at this midway point. Not Atlanta, one of the best rosters in baseball, even with Mike Soroka going down, it's a very good baseball team. Washington, the defending World Series champs, they wouldn't be in the postseason if we were to jump into it today. They got some ground to make up. Miami would be the second team in the National League East, and I promise you that's not going to hold up. Miami got off to a hot start. They had everything with COVID-19 popping up. You didn't know when or if this team would be playing. The Marlins are coming back down to earth. They will not be in the NL playoffs, I guarantee you. Right now, they would hold a spot in the East. In the Central, the Cubs, who have been very good, they're at 17-10. Overwhelming lead over the Cardinals and the Reds. The Cardinals have only played 17 games due to COVID-19. But it would be the Cubs and the Cardinals right now in the Central. And in the West, should be no surprise, Dodgers-Padres. Dodgers an 8-game lead over third-place San Francisco, and that's what's important because, again, the top two teams get in. So, Braves, Marlins, Cubs, Cardinals, Dodgers, Padres. The next two best teams, it would actually be San Francisco and Colorado at the moment. Those would be the next team. Four NL West squads would be in the playoffs if they were to begin today. Now, again, we still have 30 games. Things are going to change. But just by looking at that playoff picture and knowing that we get 16 teams rather than 10, trade deadline is going to look interesting. Which teams are going to be buyers? And when I say buyers, I guess we put a focus on them even more so than the sellers. Because do you want to be a buyer if you're the 9th or 10th team in the National League? Do you feel like you really have a chance to move through and compete for a World Series? And on the flip side of that, if you're one of those lingering teams, do you want to be a seller? Do you look at your roster and say, yeah, we can get in. We're going to get clobbered by the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Rays or the Braves or whoever. You see what I mean? And it's 30 games. It's so much different than any other season. So who should be buyers and who should be sellers as far as some of the rumors that are floating around? And in my mind, the most interesting team to watch during the trade deadline will in fact be the San Diego Padres. This is a pretty good baseball team. In fact, it's a nasty baseball team. I'm not a huge Manny Machado guy, but when you have Machado and Tatis, both full head of steam, that's a nasty lineup. There's some swag in the middle of that lineup. Tommy Pham was one of their big free agent deals. He'll be back mid-September. You got a guy that's effective both in the plate and on the base pads, and he's not bad in the field either. I think you have the offense figured out. I think the rotation is figured out, but it's the bullpen. And this may be why San Diego becomes one of the most interesting teams. Kirby Yates was one of the top closers last season. And this year, things didn't necessarily work out for him. Struggled early. Now he has season-ending elbow surgery. Drew Pomeranz was fantastic for the Padres early on. He's now on the IL with a shoulder injury. And so I think the Padres are probably one of the top teams to watch as we move to the deadline, just trying to bolster their bullpen. That's such a fun team to watch. If you haven't watched any San Diego Padre baseball, watch them. I'm telling you, every year there's a team that pops up that I have a lot of fun watching. And typically, it has to do with some of the young talent. And this Padre team is going to be a problem for a while. To me, they're one of the teams to watch as we near the trade deadline. Now, if I'm talking about a team that's in second place in the division, looking to bolster their bullpen as the most interesting storyline surrounding the Major League Baseball trade deadline a week before it happens, it's probably going to be pretty boring, right? Yep. Don't see a lot happening for the trade deadline this year. In fact, the biggest name that I believe gets moved is Mike Clevinger of the Cleveland Indians. Clevinger is at the team's alternate site because he broke protocol. He's eligible to be recalled relatively soon. And Cleveland's rotation looks pretty good at the moment. And so looking at Clevinger, he'd come with at least 2 more years of team control, 3 if they want to option him right now. And Cleveland could use some more offensive punch. Remember, they made a move for Puig last year. They didn't retain him. Over 334 plate appearances this season, Indian outfielders are hitting .166. Okay, so then you start looking at some of the teams that have player depth. Teams that could use another starter. Atlanta, I just talked about Mike Soroka a few moments ago. Clevinger would be an ideal fit there. They have a surplus of offensive talent. I think the Dodgers are a team that could use another starter. And that organization has so much talent that you're seeing quality starters sent to the alternate site. Not many teams are in that scenario. In the American League, it probably falls as short as New York and Oakland. So really, it's going to be one of the more boring trade deadlines that we have seen in recent memory. But this baseball season is just unlike anything we've ever seen. And to be honest with you, I'm here for it. I'm enjoying it. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll talk more NBA basketball. We'll recap the Rockets and the Thunder. This one went down to the wire in OKC. coming out on top. That series is now 2-2. So we'll take a look at the Western Conference in general. And I know starting right now, it's Indiana and Miami, the Heat looking for a four-game sweep over the Pacers. That's straight ahead right here on Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. We're back over and talk NBA basketball. It is final now. Oklahoma City has made it a 2-2 series. They topped the Rockets 117-114. And Travis, this series appeared like it was going to be a blowout. Houston looked like they were going to run away with it.
Yeah, they did. And then Oklahoma City gets back-to-back wins. Chris Paul, once again, 10 of 19 today, 26 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Very efficient. So the Thunder now making making the Rockets fans sweat a little bit.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what's bad for Houston. They're already not deep enough.
Right? No.
So it doesn't matter who it is. If it was the Lakers or the Blazers in the second round, you needed to end this Oklahoma series as quickly as possible, just because D'Antoni's going to shorten the depth chart even more. The rotation's going to be 7-man deep by the time we get into round two, and it's not going to work. I mean, James Harden today played 43 minutes, ended with 32 points and 15 assists, but he played 43 minutes in a loss, and now it's a best 2 out of 3 set. I would be a little bit concerned if I was a Rocket fan. You know what else I would be concerned about? Without Russell Westbrook, Dennis Schroeder goes off for 30 points.
They have no one to guard him.
Well, no, they have no defense, and Chris Paul has just been, this guy has been incredible. I mean, really.
What a leader for the team, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I know we've talked about this a million times, and I keep going back to it. We didn't know if this guy would ever step foot in a Thunder uniform. And he was dealt to Oklahoma City for Westbrook.
Picked dead last in the West.
Yeah, it appeared that this was a move for Oklahoma City to start a rebuild. They trade Westbrook, they trade Paul George. It's a rebuild. Sam Presti's not taking any chances. He's going to deal these guys while he can right now. Chris Paul, it's going to be a salary dump at some point in time. They may actually beat the Rockets, the team that they sent Russell Westbrook to in the first round of the playoffs. To me, it's amazing. And I know we've been talking about coaches. I praised Greg Popovich. I got to praise Billy Donovan now as well, because this team does not have enough talent, should not be competing with the Houston Rockets.
No,
you shouldn't.
If you look at this roster isn't very good, and they shouldn't be competing, like you said, with the Rockets, let alone tied 2-2. But somehow, some way, the Thunder are 2 wins away from, you know, meeting up with the Lakers in round 2.
Yeah, because the Lakers probably
they're not
going to
lose
tonight.
That series. Yeah,
they can't end the series tonight. But if they win, that series is all but over. If they win tonight, it's a must win for Portland.
Which they're not going to win. Not on Mamba Day.
Not on Mamba Day, with the Lakers wearing Kobe jerseys. There's a Gigi patch on the jersey. Kobe Bryant, Figueroa Street, which we spent a lot of time on Figueroa Street in California. It's in Los Angeles. It's been changed to Kobe Bryant Boulevard. It's a Kobe celebration with a BN 824.
Game 4 is going to look a lot like Game 2. That's what I think.
Yes, I think the Lakers run away with this game tonight. And so the Western Conference is looking very interesting, because if the Lakers do in fact get a win tonight, it'd be 3-1 in the Lakers series. Look, if Portland gets a win, it's 2-2. 3 out of the 4 series would be 2-2, except for Utah and Denver, and that series is over tomorrow. Series is over.
The Denver Nuggets are frauds. They were frauds last year and again this year, and they played for that 3 seed. They wanted Utah, so they got Utah, and they're getting spanked right now.
Yeah, home court matters. There's no doubt. And I know that Denver is a tad bit undermanned, but so is Utah. So you can't use that excuse.
They have no answer for Mitchell.
They have no answer for Mitchell. And Michael Porter, for as great of a future as this guy is going to have, I think Michael Porter's a real player.
The Joker living at the three-point line just doesn't cut it. I'd let him shoot it all night, and that's what Utah did. Dared him to make threes. He made a few, but not enough.
Porter can't play defense. Jokic, we talked about all the weight that he lost. He's getting shoved around. He's getting dominated inside the paint.
Murray's using all the energy on the offensive end.
The Jazz have just flat out beat this Nugget team down.
Jazz Mavs.
You think Dallas wins that series?
I don't think the Mavericks win the series.
I don't. I'd like to see it, but I think the Clippers probably win in seven.
Yeah, I don't think Dallas wins that series. I said going into it that it was a series that could go six or seven, and if it didn't, we're going to look at it and say, wow, that should have went six or seven games.
Should be probably over.
It should be 3-1 Dallas, nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it goes seven, and then you got Luka in a game seven going against Paul George and Kawhi, so you roll your dice in that game seven.
Yeah, let me end the show with this today. Luka Doncic is playing out of this world, okay? For his age, where he is at, he is better at his age than LeBron James was at his age.
Agreed.
Luka Doncic is putting up numbers that we haven't seen for a player at this age since Magic Johnson. That's how unique this is. You have to go all the way back to Magic's rookie campaign to find someone this age putting up these types of numbers all the way around. Luka is doing something that we haven't seen since Magic. That's who I think of when I watch Luka Doncic play. He's Magic Johnson 2.0.
Yeah, Kawhi's got to take the responsibility on that final play.
Rivers needs to take the responsibility on that play.
You can't have Reggie Jackson on him. That's a bad look. You have to have your best player on him. Their best players were camped underneath the basket. Yeah, that can't happen.
As we talked about already
LeBron,
in the show.
With LeBron on Dame.
It's Rick Carlisle has out-coached Doc Rivers in that series.
He's running circles around him.
He's out-coached him in that series.
Yep.
Interesting game coming up right now. The Heat and the Pacers. Again, Miami can send Indiana packing. You'd be the second team to leave the bubble. Right now, only teams in the Eastern Conference. One team, Philadelphia, has been out. Miami, trying to end that series right now against Indiana. And then tonight, we get the Lakers and the Blazers. Out of time on this edition of the show. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.